This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, as you know, the San Diego Zoo is one of the finest zoos in the world, and we've had this young lady on the show very often the past, I guess, 7 or 8 years she's been appearing with us.
9 years. About 9 years.
Right, yeah. Several plus several will be about nine.
You said 7 or 8.
No, I said... I didn't say 7 or 8. I said several.
Then you said 7 or 8, and I said...
Did I?
Nine.
Yeah. Nine, good, thank you.
Yeah. Some of the animals you had as babies are now 10 years old.
That would be about right.
Remember the animals that did something funny on your tie?
Yes.
Those little lions, the little baby lions, were 1 year old.
That's right.
They are now treacherous and ferocious 10-year-old animals.
Okay. Anyway, Joan Embry is here tonight.
And she's now 32.
That's right. Joan is an animal handler and a trainer. And you really think you're fooling everybody, don't you?
No.
And she also...
I'm just here to do my best to help you.
I know that. And she does her 3 horse shows a day. Did you know that? At the animal park.
Boy.
What?
What an exciting idea.
Would you like an army cot or something? Maybe you could... Trying to catch up on a little, little nappy poo? Just might snap you right out of it. Okay.
I love Joan. I'm the only one who went down to see Joan. Doc has never seen her. You've never seen her. I went to the wild animal farm.
It's all right. Okay.
But you're upsetting me.
I don't upset you.
I went down, Joan, and I
know you did. That's all right.
Don't say...
What?
I know her. I went down and...
Oh, I know you did. I know you went down there. And
I held a baby gorilla.
I couldn't go with you that week. You held a baby gorilla. Good, all right. And let's get her out here quickly. Would you welcome Joan Embry?
The Don and Mike Show.
They will gladly accept your fandom. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Who are these people? Timothy Williams. In the studio, I'll tell you why I've asked him to come in today.
Yes, please inform me, Mr. Geronimo, would you?
Okay, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
This is the new Tim McWilliams.
He's acting like Eddie Cleaver, or rather Eddie Haskell, you know, Beaver Cleaver's, Wally Cleaver's friend.
Right, absolutely.
I come in today, and Tim comes by the office, and he goes, Mr. Geronimo, hello, you're looking well. And I said, well, hi, Tim, how are you? And he said, it's the new... Tim McWilliams.
The new and improved Tim McWilliams?
Definitely new and improved. You can ask anybody. It is the new, gentler, kindler Tim McWilliams.
Kindler?
Kindler.
Did
I say that wrongly?
I told Tim after I spoke to him for a while, sounds to me like somebody in the management at this radio station.
Oh, now there you go, Mr. Geronimo. There you go again.
Sounds to me like somebody called you in and said perhaps that your go-get-em attitude...
Have people accused you of being too caustic? Is that what it was?
Well, come on now, Mr.
Is wearing thin with some of the other members of the staff.
Could that be?
Abrasiveness finally bubbled over. And
was that me?
Did anyone in management have a discussion with you about your attitude?
Well, it's funny that you did bring it up. There is one beloved boss. You might know him, one Alan Limewire.
that would have been first choice.
Mm-hmm. Alan will not get off your ass, will he?
He's just a great guy. I'm so pleased that he hired me.
You know what it is?
I was just telling him that today. Mr. Limewire, thank you for this job.
This is me speaking, not you, Tim. I just want to say, get off Tim's ass. First you get on him about the clothes that he wears. You know, Alan actually went to a men's clothing store with Tim and picked out clothes for him because Alan decided that Tim didn't dress well enough to be a member of the sales staff.
It was a major improvement. I remember that when he took you in there.
Well, there you go, Mr. Geronimo. From your own friend here, Mr. O'Mara, he has agreed that Mr. Limewine has improved me.
Yes.
And this is probably just one more step in that improvement.
He improved your look. He improved your look. And now he's attempting to improve your attitude. Is that what it is?
He did have one of those touchy-feely conversations with the door closed. It wasn't a three-quarter door. It was all the way shut.
Oh, that's bad. All right, now what about what I've noticed back in the sales staff where you guys hang out?
Mm-hmm. You have to sign out for all your appointments now?
Isn't that rather disturbing? Yes, well, you know, we do have to have logs because management has to keep in control of where we are. You never know. We may get soft, Mr. Geronimo, and we wouldn't want that to happen.
Oh, he has changed his attitude, hasn't he?
Oh, yes. We have to be productive. As a matter of fact,
you realize he's referring to us as Mr. Geronimo and Mr. O'Mara?
I told him he doesn't have to do it with us, that we liked him the way he used to be.
First names are fine, Tim, if you want to do
that. Thank you, Mr. O'Mara. As a matter of fact, I was pointing out to Mr. Geronimo how good a job that Mr. Rice was doing. And
Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's when it got to the... But he was talking about Andy Biotic.
Oh, my God. Now you're going too far.
And
Mr. Leave, you know, Mr. Quitting Time's 5:30. I'm leaving at 5:29, 15.
Now. Mr. Rice is very productive. He definitely gets the job done. The
productive
place...
getting to his car at Quitting Time, that's for sure.
Here's what I don't get. Don't you, like, make tons of money for this company? Aren't you one of the top billers at the station?
I would think that I do rather well for them in the millions of dollars.
Sure.
Yes.
So you make millions of dollars for this company every year with your sales buys. Why aren't they just leaving you alone?
Well, I think there was a time and an opportunity where they did that, but finally it got to the point, Mr. Geronimo. Of course, you have to ask Mr. Limewood for his point of view, where my impatience and my edginess, I didn't know that that was part of my persona, but he informed me that in fact was.
Your impatience and your edginess, were those the words that were used in the discussion?
No, Mr. O'Mara, no, those were not the words that...
What were the words that were used?
Well, we can't discuss those words right now, because don't forget, it was a full close door meeting.
Mm. Oh. And when did you have this meeting? Was it just today?
Oh, no. It wasn't just today. This is actually day number 5 or 6 of the
meeting.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yes. So we've actually missed 5 days of the new Tim
McWilliams.
Oh, you
missed the best 5 days. I brought donuts in to the sales meeting.
Wow.
Yes,
incredible.
I brought donuts in, jelly donuts.
Is everybody getting a nice hello from you now?
In the morning, I come in. You can ask Colette. I come in. Colette, how are you? Are you doing well? Are you doing fine?
What I want to know is who complained about the old Tim McWilliams? Frankly, I liked the old Tim McWilliams. I don't know how I feel about the new Tim McWilliams.
Oh, Mr. Geronimo, you'll get used to it. Believe me, this is the new Tim, and this is the Tim. The old Tim was just not the right Tim.
Really?
Oh, yes.
So the old Tim is dead?
The old Tim is R.I.P.
Oh, my. So we're not going to hear you bickering in the hallways anymore with management?
No more yelling and screaming and throwing David Hainline up against the wall. That is not going to be...
Oh, is that what happened?
No.
You threw somebody against the wall?
No, we don't want to go into specifics, Mr. Geronimo, but there were some incidents that just needed to be addressed, and I was the recipient of those conversations.
If you threw David Hainline against the wall, you got probably 30, 40 people here that would probably say that was the right thing to do.
Well, far be it for me to jump in on that conversation, Mr. Mara.
Oh, boy. I hate to see a man so productive at the prime.
Right.
Right. You're right now, you're at the pinnacle of your earnings potential. Should be on top of the world. I hate to see you emaciated like this.
Well, we don't think that this new Tim is going to be counterproductive to my productivity. In fact, we think it's going to increase my sales acumen.
Oh, Jesus. Look what they've done to you. Look what they have done
Mr.
to you.
Mr. Burbank, Hendrick Honda says hello. They love you, dear.
Ah. Is that yours?
Well, thank you. Tell him
is
I
that
said
yours,
hi,
Mr.
Hi.
McWilliams?
Oh, he does a wonderful job. It's the kindler, gentler Hendrick Honda as well.
Yes. Is there any particular...
Look what they've done to our friend Tim McWilliams.
But, you know, I think because he's always so good on the show, we have to give him the same consideration. Would there be any new client, Tim, that you'd like to give a mention to while you have this open forum?
Well,
here?
In fact, Mr. O'Mara, I've been rather successful this week with several new ones. And the problem with that is... I don't want to alienate any other new clients.
What? Oh, my God. Are you saying he never used to hesitate. He mentioned his favorite biggest client.
Did they castrate you, Tim? Is that what they did?
Oh, no, Mr. Geronimo. I'm perfectly in good health. I'm in fine shape mentally, but thank you for your concern.
Rob? All right. Thank you, Tim. Go see if Alan wants to come in here and talk about how he neutered Tim McWilliams.
Go ahead, Tim. Tim McWilliams, ladies and gentlemen.
Timbo, everybody.
New improved Tim McWilliams.
I want to say something. I hate the new Tim.
I know, it's very frustrating.
The old Tim was a friend of mine, and frankly, new Tim, you're not a friend of mine, new Tim.
It's a phony Tim.
I want the old Tim back.
You don't like the phony. Call it the phony Tim. Call it what it is.
Phony Tim. PT.
Yes.
The bad phony Tim.
Bad phony Tim.
The beep. PT.
Right. We want the real Tim back. We want the real abrasive, edgy Tim.
Yeah. But frankly, I don't care if you got to be that way around all the other people.
Management
already,
alert. Management
all
alert.
All right. Now, here's Alan, sales manager.
General sales manager.
Have a seat. What have you done? What have you done to Tim McWilliams?
Some people would call it a lobotomy. I'm not quite sure.
Come on, really. What did you say to him, Alan? What did you do to him? What was wrong with the way that Tim used to be?
Well, listen. You guys know Tim pretty well.
Yes,
yeah, we love
him.
Absolutely. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. So I think he's a great guy too.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just pushed the envelope a little too far on occasion.
Can you give us an example? Because really, the Tim that we know is probably the most accessible sales guy that we come in contact with. No, I'm not kidding you.
Okay. Not any specifics. I'll give you a generality.
A generality. Okay. All right. Very good.
This will hit home with you guys.
Okay.
Don and Mike's show is the hottest show in Washington. We need to get X-rate for it. He looks at me and says, screw you.
You mean you need to get a certain amount of dollars for every commercial?
Absolutely.
And what
he used the specific verbiage of screw you.
Well, you know,
right? So he says F you.
I'm cleaning it up for radio.
Oh, you're cleaning it up. Oh, so he used the bigger word.
In what regard does he say F you though? Does he say F you and that he can't get that raise?
Yeah, I don't think he likes people to tell him what he should and shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to sit him down at one point and say, listen, you know. This isn't a democracy.
How did he change so dramatically? What do you attribute his remarkable transformation? God. You know, he went in as a larva and came out this beautiful, sweet butterfly.
He cut his balls off, man. I mean, he's not the same.
I got to be honest with you. Uh-huh. It's kind of getting sickening. I mean, I'm really not at it. Today, he hit me a couple of times with this. Good morning, Mr. And I got to tell you, it's, you know, I'm almost enough. Is enough. You know?
Let me just ask in Tim's defense.
Yeah.
When you raise the rates on our show.
Absolutely.
And I've seen the rate card. I know you guys are getting a pretty penny for a commercial on this show. When you raise the rates, generally isn't Tim able to go out and get that rate?
If he wants to.
Oh, but if he's told to get a certain rate, he doesn't respond well to that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the old Tim didn't. I mean, this week I've seen a different response from him.
Well, have you thought about motivating him differently, like not ordering him to, like making it kind of his idea to go out and get a higher rate?
I've tried that. I've tried a lot of different things. And, you know, he's a different sort. Listen, 2 years ago, as he'll tell you, he was knocking down 2x4s.
Oh, my. Did he really push David Hayline up against the wall?
I didn't see that, but I wouldn't doubt it.
And how would you feel, Alan, if one of your number one henchmen, David Hayline, was pushed up against a wall? How would you feel about that personally? You know, David, you work with David.
As long as, you know, we're doing what we got to do, I don't care who gets pushed against the wall.
It's cutthroat management here.
It is. And I know that many of you might hear this mild-mannered gentleman, but he runs a very tight ship back there.
Alan's very evil.
Yes, he's very results.
Very evil.
Yes.
Very evil. His idol is Pat Riley. Your idol has to be Pat Riley, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got your hair like his.
I like Pat Riley.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, you're listening. I just want everyone to know. I want to go on the record. You're listening to a very tough guy here.
You're listening to the Darth Mater.
Darth Maul?
Darth Maul. Maul. You know, the guy with the horns and the red face.
I will tell you, the other issue that
Darth Mater.
I told somebody earlier.
Darth Line One.
This is the calm before the storm with Tim McWilliams. I believe he's about to go postal any minute.
Really?
Well, don't you think you might be responsible for that if he goes postal?
I'm starting to feel that way.
Well, how about you just ease back a little bit and tell him he can go back to being kind of the way he was, man? I mean, we liked him.
He'd probably respond to just a word from you. Hey, Tim, you know, go back to being the way you used to be a little bit. Would you do?
See,
is it just which do you hate more? Do you hate the Mr. Line One? How are you today? Or do you hate the old
Tim? Hey, boss man, what are you doing? You can't tell me what to do. What are you doing?
So, is this just a problem with you and Tim, or is this a problem with the staff and Tim?
I think you'd have to ask everybody else about that.
Oh, my. Yes, it's the staff.
It's the staff.
It's the staff. Do you think this has anything to do?
Let me tell you, everybody loves Tim McWilliams.
Sounds like it.
I mean, really, this
sounds like it, Alan. Okay.
I loved him.
Okay. Do you think this has anything to do with his days? You know, as he was on the fringe of the organized crime, people like Sammy the Bull Gravano.
You know, he grew up with Sammy the Bull when he lived in Brooklyn.
Well, right. You know, he threw on my desk the other day, and it's still sitting there, Underboss.
That's a good book.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but he threw it on my desk. He actually meant to throw it at me, I think.
Oh. Yeah, he's a tough guy, Tim McLean.
Yeah.
Kind of telling, I think, when your employee comes in and throws a book about the mafia and about being an underboss when he just tosses the book on your desk.
Exactly.
And so you picked him to be up perhaps on the roof someday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, not on the roof. Probably in the building.
In the building.
Well, remember, I have a Main Street window there.
You know, we're very fond of Tim. That's the only reason we bring this up.
As I am,
yes,
too.
Yes, we are.
I think Tim is terrific, and I've grown... this is no BS. I've grown very fond of him, and he does a great job.
I'd like to say that I always make a point of just a little bit sucking up to Alan, knowing full well that if anything unforeseen were to happen to Ken Stevens, that Alan Linewall would probably be on the fast track to fill that chair quite nicely. I'm sure that's a situation you wouldn't be averse.
You're waiting for Ken to get hit by a bus right there.
Absolutely. Probably not.
Oh, yeah.
No.
He wants Ken's job.
Ken wants to jump on a bus and go somewhere that's up there.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Well, for us, could you back off on Tim a little bit? Could you give him back a little bit of his personality?
I'll be very honest. I did that a few days ago because it was getting sickening.
I haven't seen any change. Call Tim back in. Maybe we can come maybe we can broker some kind of a meeting of the minds.
And perhaps we could address with Tim the issue that perhaps now he's simply punishing Alan for telling him to change his personality, and that would be why we got this obviously exaggerated Tim McWilliams.
Do you think that there are ridiculous problems like this at other offices where people are listening to us now?
I think there are a lot of head cases here, and I think in all offices there probably are.
All right, Tim, come on in. Now, Tim, here Timbo.
Hi, Tim.
Timbo, come here, Timbo.
This is my boss, Mr. Linewine.
See, all right, Tim, I want to give you a bit of advice. When you come and you say, this is my boss, you probably shouldn't slap him on the arm like that. You probably should slap Alan with your backhand on the arm.
Mr. Linewine's quite well developed. There's no hurting Mr. Linewine. Oh, did you see these biceps, Alan? Have you shown him his biceps like you showed him to me the other day?
Listen, boys.
Some development there, Mr. Geronimo.
Boys, listen, Tim, now. We're trying to help you out here, Tim.
Thank you.
I believe we can get a meeting of the minds. We can meet in the middle.
Oh.
I think so. I think that
perhaps. How would you do that? How do you mix oil and water?
Well, what you do, Tim, is perhaps, we understand what you're doing here right now. Perhaps you go just, you back it off a few. You're full throttle right now.
No.
How about you go down to half speed on this new and improved?
Is there anybody other than me that thinks this feels a little phony?
You're just misreading it. I just don't have it.
Tim, you're here with your immediate supervisor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's the one that gave me this job, Mr. Geronimo.
I know he is.
And you know of many times how I've told you how I love this job, and I'm so happy to keep this job.
We know you love your job. We know that. That's the truth.
Alan would appreciate if you would back it off a little bit. You could go back a little bit, like 50%. Just take your foot off the gas 50%.
Like, you don't have to say hello to me every time you pass me in the hall.
It's a pleasure to see you. It's a pleasure to see you, Mr. Burbank, Mr. Spiewak.
All right, listen. Will you stop calling everybody Mr.?
You sound like Tiny Tim, for Christ's sake.
Can you really do that? Stop calling everybody Mister.
Come on, Tim.
I'm up for that.
Thanks,
Tim.
Don.
Just a little.
Don.
There you go, Tim. Yeah, Timbo. Timbo.
Thank you.
Timbo. All right. Now,
Mike. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Now, an exercise. Let's say that Alan wants you to get a higher rate for a commercial for the show.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Linewine. What does the rate card dictate this week?
Okay, that's the wrong response. Why can't you just say okay
or no problem?
I mean, I'm not trying to tell you to be an ass kisser.
He's saving it.
This is tough, Mr. Geronimo, because I tell you,
I thought you were going to call me Don.
Excuse me, Don. This is tough. We have to reinvent. We have to reinvent the reinvention. This is not going to.
That's what we're doing right now. We're reinventing the reinvention.
Tim, can I ask you a question?
And yes, sir.
I want to cut through all the new Tim and the old Tim and everything, right to the heart of the real Tim, deep inside. Are you filled with rage right now? Are you filled with naked rage?
I have nothing but joy and contentment and positive energy. Mr. O'Mara, thank you for asking.
I
want to tell you what has worked for us,
Mike.
And I mean this. I've been on radio 25 years. I've done this with every boss, and I've worked for some guys like Alan, some type A guys before.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Alan's a wonderful individual, Mr. Geronimo.
Call me Don. When you're sitting in there, you just tell him what he wants to hear. Then when you leave the office, you go, hey, F him. Mm-hmm. I'll do what I think is best.
That is a tact that some employees still take.
It's a tact that has always worked for me with every hard-ass boss I've ever had. Mm-hmm. You sit there and the guy would say, listen, you're talking too much. You're not playing the records I want you to play. Remember Buddy Scott, Buzz?
Oh, boy.
Every day at 10 o'clock, I'd have a meeting with this guy where he would scream at me and tell me I'm awful. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to make it. You got to play 10 records an hour. I would go, okay, you're right. I'd leave the office. I'd shut the door. I'd say to Buzz, F him. We're doing our own show tomorrow.
Right.
Well, same thing with me and Mike with Smokey Rivers and every other bad boss we've ever had before. Not that Alan's a bad boss.
Not at all. Problem nothing
could
be further
did
from
that before he left my office, usually.
Well, that would be how I would compromise.
Yeah, perhaps
I would,
that was the mistake, Tim, to say the F him while you were in the office.
Well,
that was difficult.
I think I owe it to my beloved boss, Mr. Alan Linewine, to be upfront with him and to give him my full evaluation.
Listen,
right there.
Just let me. I gotta wind this up.
I've been hearing this for 10 minutes. I'm already sick of it.
I gotta wind this up. We have a break coming up. Alan, are you willing to give a little bit in this relationship?
100%.
Tim,
good attitude.
Tim, are you willing to give some in this relationship?
BS us.
Yes or no? Are you willing to give some?
Mr. Linewine asked me for a new Tim, and I am going to give him a new Tim.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
He's still going to punish
all
you, right. Alan. He's still angry.
All right.
He's still very angry.
But I would be very happy to take this to a stop set because that's when we make our money.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, boys.
Good luck, Alan.
Thank you for airing your grievances here in the Idiot's Court.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Thank you both.
Wow. Tim. You know, through all of it, that was Tim just saying F everybody.
Yeah. Right.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah, listen, I see it from both sides. You know, Alan's a tough guy to work for. Mm-hmm. I know Tim's a tough guy to manage.
Right.
You know, everybody's got to make some compromises.
And that pencil behind his ear.
Oh, my
just
God.
Want to point out that.
Yeah, there, Mr. Romero.
I thought that was going to be a weapon for a second there.
Hey, Mr. Linewand. Here's a book you might want to read by Sammy the Bull. It's called Underboss.
I might direct your attention to some of the very gruesome mob hits that are included in the book there, Supervisor.
How crazy is that?
It's a crazy business.
Those are like two executives at work. Those guys wear suits and ties.
Right.
Those guys drive Lexuses. Those are guys that are considered pillars of the community.
This is the way it works here. It's very insane.
It's like freaking high school at this radio station.
You know, the only way that would have been crazier is we threw in the guy that he put up against the wall, David Hainlein. You put him in there and you've got the trifecta.
All right, time out. We're coming right back with our friend Chris Berman from ESPN.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We used to rock and roll all night and party every day. Then it was every other day. Now I'm lucky if I can find half an hour a week in which to get funky. I've got to get out of this rut and back into the groove.
The Don and Mike Show.
Mike is a disc jockey with a band. Don is not. The Don and Mike Show.
Isn't this typical?
What?
We tell the whole show today so that we break and come back from the break at 4:15 for Mr. Chris Berman.
Yes.
And we don't know where he is.
He's MIA?
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang.
Well, you know, I'm just not going to let him F up with the schedule of the show today. We got a real schedule today. I mean, we got Stossel coming in,
right?
And I want to get Stossel on today because he went to see the preview of Austin Powers, the spy that shagged me.
Ooh. So we want to get a little, extra jump on the gum with that.
Yeah, we got some hate mail for Stossel. Oh, is this Chris Berman right now?
Very exciting.
Oh, it's Rudy.
All right.
Rudy.
Hi, Rudy.
How you doing, guys?
Where's Berman, buddy?
Should be there. I mean, I just talked to Charlie. He said he was supposed to be lined up for right about now.
When was the last time Charlie talked to Berman?
I don't think he has. I think every time he called ESPN today, he got like Chris Berman's houseboy, his Cato Kalen.
So, Berman, you talked to Berman, buddy, and Berman, buddy, said he was going to be on the show, buddy?
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday, I talked to him. He was all set. Uh-huh.
Well, listen, as long as...
I got a call coming in. Maybe it's Chris. You guys want to hold for a second?
Sure, sure.
Okay, just a minute.
Wait. Hey, what you're hearing is a real conversation with Rudy. That's the way it goes.
Now, listen. Nobody tell Rudy that we're going to send Rob with a taped message for me introducing him at this golf thing next week.
Very good.
Okay. Because I'm going to tell Rudy I'm looking forward to doing it.
Not Chris Berman.
Hold on. Here is Charlie Broyhill.
Yeah, he asked me about that, and I told him you hadn't told me definitely what you're going to do. So if you want to tell him you're going to show up to that, then...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd be glad to introduce you at that golf thing, Rudy.
Oh, okay. Great, great, Don.
Yeah, no problem.
Now, you want me to try to work on getting Chris right now?
I'd be humbled to...
I will do it right now.
To introduce you at that time.
All right, do you want us to hold on while you're doing that?
Yeah, let's try to call him. Just put us on hold and try to call
him. Yeah, put you on hold.
See if you can get him.
Okay. Okay, guys.
All right.
Yeah, so this is all...
Hello?
He said goodbye. he said goodbye.
Yes, he did.
He said goodbye.
Well, Rudy's already uptight because next week he's scheduled Marv Albert to come on the show.
Yes.
And he's afraid that we're going to ask Marv Albert about, biting that girl's butt and everything.
Lingerie.
Biting stories, biting...
You know, I told Charlie to tell him that's old news that we would probably only mention it, behind his back and stuff.
Sure.
Like, we'll pardon the pun.
Wouldn't it be a fair question to ask him how he's doing now and if there, if there's any fallout from his previous activities?
Well, of course it's a fair question, and that's...
Mm-hmm. That's okay, right?
Why else would we want to have Marv Albert on the show?
Ask about what his new deal with, MSG.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike.
Well, thought it was Chris Berman. I guess it's not. Hello there.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I was watching last night on entertainment. They were telling Tom Selleck when he was with Roseanne.
It's Rosie O'Donnell. The more now that we're just sitting here padding, waiting for Rudy to come up with Chris Berman, I'm thinking we could have taken the thing with Tim McWilliams and Alan to a whole nother level. I mean, I rushed them out of here.
We could have had David Hainlein come into the mix. David Hainlein, who said to me,
He likes the new Tim McWilliams.
But also said to me, it wasn't Tim McWilliams that pushed David Heinlein up against the wall. It was David Heinlein that pushed Tim McWilliams up against the wall.
I'm going to run the clock right now. If we don't get Chris Berman in the next 60 seconds,
right,
we're going to blow the segment off. And we'll just go with the continuing story of the new Tim McWilliams.
Very good.
Based on this new information that I received from one of my investigators, Mike O'Mara.
Yes, I listen. I just want everybody to know out of that hallway. You might think while I'm draining those 10-footers out there that I'm not paying attention. I'm listening to what every single person has to say.
Right.
Whether it be Lisa about her connection with strippers, or whether it be David Heinlein talking about him throwing Tim McWilliams up against the wall.
You do hear an awful lot out there. I get some of my best information from you.
He also, David Heinlein showed me a little piece of paper that said, Tim, all my best, Sammy. It's a little note.
Sammy the Bull?
Apparently Tim keeps in his desk at all times.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Toys with a decibel dice, busting all five shots. A new toy that don't like nightlife. Tell off this new bomb and get bit. I'm a brother with common sense to watch the sis to hustle and pimp. Up in this game for so long.
Wait. Hold on. Speak white. Speak white. We don't understand, man. Slow down.
Your rap was... the phone wasn't good enough to hear your rap.
Listen, that's the... All right, hold on, please, my rapping friend.
Hold on a second. All right. Is somebody on hold for... or is that just a regular... That's the person you just put on
hold. I just put that person on hold. Rudy was supposed to be on line 3. Put Rudy back on hold so I can tell him that we're going to have to bump Chris Berman today.
Because we tried.
We got too much stuff going on today, man. Well, all right. Nobody's listening to me.
I talk to the trees.
Hello? Chris?
Hello?
Hi. Nope. Hi, Chris. Chris Berman, everybody.
This is not him.
Oh, this is not him.
Oh, man, you could have fooled me. You sound exactly like him.
All right. Well, listen. Hold on. David Heinlein's coming in. What can we do for you?
Nothing. I just wanted to tell them that Star Wars sucks.
All right, thank you, sir. I agree.
That's Star Wars fuck.
All right, joining us now is the third salesperson in question in today's mystery.
A man who was discussing with me the business of up against the wall. He first said to me that he was the one that threw Tim against the wall, and then he said, no, that really didn't happen, so please clear it up for me. What exactly?
Here is David Heinlein, also known as Dobie Gillis. Hello, David.
Hello, Mr. Geronimo.
Oh, please stop it, David.
Oh, God.
David also, for those of you who keep your running logs on the show, David is the chap that set his farts on fire to impress us about 10 years ago and burn his... What did you burn, David? The inside of your butt?
I don't remember.
Oh, come on.
The old David Heinlein. This is the new David Heinlein.
Oh, stop that.
One day out front of the radio station, this wasn't even on the radio, David was going to show us how he could light his farts on fire. So I pulled down his pants and pulled out a lighter and went to fart, and like he burned the whole inside of his anus.
Mm-hmm. Have you recovered completely from that?
I have the tape in my car. Would you like to hear it?
Someday I would. I really would.
Yeah, I carried around with me, you know.
David Heinlein, also around the building, would be the ultimate needler. That is his style. He is a needling kind of guy.
He's a kidder.
Yeah. He will kid you, he will needle you, and that's his mode of operation. I would imagine that clashes with Mr. McWilliams on occasion.
Quite often.
We understand, David, that Tim pushed you against the wall.
Tim pushes me quite often, to the limit.
Now, please, but was there any specific physical altercation between you and Mr. McWilliams?
Most of it has been verbal.
Most of it.
Was there a physical?
I think we've come close several times.
Who pushed who?
We push each other.
You push each other?
Yes. I've pushed him, he's pushed me.
Now, explain this, the pushing. Walk us through it. How does it get to the actual
pushing? I'd like to point out, David is another one of the executives here, okay? David is not low on the food chain here.
I love Tim. Tim is one of the top salespeople here, and he does an amazing job of doing a lot of amazing things.
Mm-hmm. Then why do you push him against the wall?
To get him going. He's Irish. You know, he's got that Irish blood in him.
There it is. Now, wait a minute. That's the real David Heinlein.
So are you the instigator, David?
That's the needler.
Am I the instigator?
Are you the instigator in these shenanigans?
Well, I'm Irish, too, you know.
You can push his hot buttons. Is that what you're saying? You can get him upset?
Oh, sure.
And you try?
I don't try, no.
Yeah, of course you try.
My job is to manage Tim and make sure he sells the Don and Mike show at higher rates than anybody else.
What is something you would say to Tim?
All these guys putting pressure on Timbo.
What is something you would say to Tim that would be designed to motivate, but that in your needling style might push the wrong buttons?
Tim, did you get permission before you sold that Dynamite show, or did you just go ahead and sell it without getting permission?
And that sends him into a fury?
I don't need permission. I just sell whatever the hell I'm going to sell, and if they don't like it, tough.
All right, let me ask you, can you explain to us why he needs permission to sell commercials? Isn't that his job?
I'm talking about appearances.
He sells appearances?
Well, he has. I mean, you've done a couple appearances for Tim.
Yeah, and they're usually very successful.
Real good. Yeah.
But we have a thing called a sales process at WJFK, a paper trail.
Oh boy, I can see why. Mm-hmm.
More and more, I'm on Tim's side in this.
Yes, I can see why that happens.
And we like to, we want Charlie to look at the site before, someone says.
But this doesn't all revolve around us and our appearances. There certainly is more to it than that.
Tim is awesome. I love Tim.
you are normally much more forthcoming than you're being.
Then why are you guys two executives pushing each other against the wall?
I think out of mutual respect.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
It is thick.
Jesus Christ. Listen to this. These are guys that wear suits and ties in every day. Yeah.
Tell me about Tim's autographed book from Sammy the Bull?
Well, speaking of Sammy the Bull, talk to me about that little piece of paper that you stole out of Tim's desk that you went into Tim's desk.
Oh, that's cold, David.
And took out that says, Tim, best always Sammy. Will you please talk about that for a second?
It's his childhood friend, I believe.
But why did... Where was the paper? Tell it. Come on now. Now stop this.
Where was this slip of paper that had Sammy the Bull's autograph?
Oh, it was just a handwritten note that I wrote to show. I actually wrote it to show me. But Tim has the book, and he has some childhood stories. You should ask him about them.
Mm-hmm. About Sammy the Bull.
This is David Hanline attempting to deflect everything off of him.
So you have pushed Tim before.
Yes.
And Tim has pushed you.
Absolutely.
Yes. But it's just because you love him and you respect him as a sales guy that you two grown men are pushing each other in the hallways.
We get along beautifully.
Do you get along beautifully with everyone in the sales department?
Sure.
All right, listen, here's what I want
you to
do.
Especially Rob A.
Rob, okay, David, you're excused. Rob, I got a job for you right now. Okay. Come here. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to each member of the sales staff. I don't know if they will comply with this.
All right.
But I swear to God that we will keep all of the answers confidential.
Right.
Okay. And Mike and I won't know. The only person that would know is Rob.
I won't even write the names down.
I want you to ask each person in the sales staff, who is the person behind this three-way fight? Is it Alan? Is it Tim? Or is it David?
Okay.
All right, hold on. Somebody's calling us on the inside line.
It's Tim.
I bet it's Chris Berman. Hello?
How do you know this?
Ladies and gentlemen, from ESPN, Chris Berman.
Chris Berman. I told you it'd be Chris Berman.
These guys are really the Swamis.
That's good timing.
Swami, good timing for you. Robbie, go find out about the sales guys. And now let's welcome the big kahuna from ESPN.
Back.
Chris Berman. And look at us. We didn't even have to break and blow him off today. He's here.
Swami says he's on time.
Hi. It's a rarity. How are you?
Hi, Chris. We're doing great. Are you excited that football is only 3 months away?
Or if you think of it that we're still in the eighth round of the NFL draft, maybe it never ended. I enjoy the break in it, but that's why the draft, when we do it, is so much fun. It kind of gets you back into it a little bit. And I think it's going to be, not that we want to sit and talk about the season yet, but I was asked about it yesterday for like a periodical coming out in late August. So, I hadn't thought about it, but with Elway retiring and Denver down a half a notch because of that, and the NFC kind of, I think we may have one of our more wide open seasons. There may be 8 to 10 legitimate in September Super Bowl contenders. And you normally can't say that. I really believe that. Not that you want to get into it that much in late May. But
no, listen, we do. We live.
Sure. Is there any particular, when you go through the year, I know fans have their point of view, but as far as a sportscaster's point of view, your time of the year, is there any time of the year for you at ESPN? It seems like you guys are going full bore year-round, but is there any particular time where it is the slow time, the dead time, a time for you to catch your breath for you?
For me personally?
Yeah, for you personally.
February and March, because I'm football and baseball, mm-hmm. and I do the U.S. Open golf. But I'm a college basketball and a hockey fan, but I really don't do much with them. So February and March, when the Pro Bowl's over, till opening day of baseball, which is usually April 1st or whatever, and that's about the time you got to get started on the football draft anyway. So the February and March is my personal downtime.
We got a huge bet riding on this show with stakes that are enormous.
Yes.
Your opinion. Who's going to hit more homers this year, Sosa or McGuire?
Hmm.
know. Pregnant pause.
No, no, that's a good question.
And there's a huge bet riding here, including tons of personal humiliation for the loser.
Yeah, and what, you're betting on what I think or what,
no,
what
we've already
say?
We've already made the bet. One of us has Sosa, the other has McGuire, and since, you know, you love baseball, we're wondering, since you're more of an expert than we are, who would you pick?
I would lean to McGuire only because I was just with Sammy last week, and he says, you know, the weather's starting to get out. I'm starting to warm up, and sure enough, he has, you know, so he knows himself.
Right. And?
Because, McGuire's misses. The ones he gets three-quarters of are still 400 feet. And I lean to McGuire, but I... So the answer is McGuire, but I don't know that that's going to be right, and I don't know that either of them will beat Griffey this year. You know what I'm saying?
No, I would agree with that. We just got the single bet. I've got McGuire, and Mike has Sosa.
You're not betting on who I said. You're betting on who would be
right.
Result.
Right, no, we just wanted your opinion. That's
Do you
all.
Want me to pay up then if I lose?
Not
necessary, Chris.
The bet is here between Mike and myself. We just wanted your expert opinion.
I lean to McGuire, but boy, that's a tough call.
All right.
It might be Griffey's year. It's a good bet. Fernando Tatis, you know?
Gotcha. Chris, we'll watch your Sports Center tonight, the 1960s. Thank you for joining us. We do love you.
Good talking to you, fellas. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Bye-bye.
That's Mike. Chris Berman.
All right, Chris Berman from ESPN. And while we were talking to Chris...
Yes.
And I guess he thought he was supposed to call at 4:30. He
right.
didn't get the message. It was 4:15. Rob Spiewak did go and talk to, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 salespeople.
Every person that was in the building that I could find.
Very good.
So,
and the results are confidential. Who's at fault? Is it David?
Yes.
No, David only received 3 votes.
No, I'm just saying yes as a punctuation mark.
Is it Alan?
Alan line 1?
No, Alan only received 4 votes.
And here's an interesting statistic without revealing any names. All of Alan's votes came from ladies.
Oh.
I don't know if that means anything or not.
Really? Sexual harassment. That's what that means.
Okay.
And your winner is Tim McWilliams.
He's the catalyst for all of this.
7 people out of 14 believe that he is the guy that is behind this current problem in the sales staff.
I am not surprised by the results because I should point out David Heinlein and Alan Linewand are in management.
That's right, and Tim is a foot soldier.
That's what it is. He's one of the soldiers.
He's one of the worker bees.
Easier to stab in the back, one of your own, and that word is for Mr. Tim McWilliams.
Beautiful. Right. We're still behind you, Timbo.
Yeah.
Although there's always room for compromise.
Sure.
Thank you, Chris Berman, ESPN. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.